going to be for both us as the adults and also going to be for the kids. So kids, if you listen to this, I know this is going to be a little bit more information than we typically go over, but hang in there with it. I think that the message is good for all ages, so hope that you guys enjoy it. Before we get started, let's start out with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you and listen to this and have this message here. We ask that you open our eyes and our hearts so that we can hear the things that you have for us, so that we can make the decisions that are best for your kingdom and not for ourselves, Lord. Lord, give us a way to see you better. Lord, help us to see how you see. Open our eyes in that way according to your will, Lord. Lord, we just love you so much. Thank you for allowing the church to be open. We appreciate that, and we just ask that you continue to open up the doors and have the people come in and help the congregation to grow back to the where it was, and just help us all to get back to be able to be mask-free and virus-free and all of that when it's all according to your will. We love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get started with this message, go ahead, as we always do, pause me, click on video one below, listen to the song, and then after the song, come back and unpause me and we'll get going with the message. So what if our Heavenly Father felt towards us the way that we feel towards our kids, or how our parents felt towards us? When they were trying to open our eyes and get us to see the world the way that they saw the world, you know, and we believe our Heavenly Father is exactly that way, that he is constantly trying to renew our minds so that we can see the way that the world is. And so I want to talk today about this idea. And if you think about this idea, think about how many times you've maybe read a passage of Scripture or talked to the same person about the same topic, and you come out of it renewed and refreshed. Maybe you read something or learned something or gleaned some new understanding that just didn't seem to be there before. And that is our Father teaching us and renewing our minds so that we can see the world in a whole different way. And so again, I want to talk about this idea today, that when we see as God sees, or when we begin to see as God sees, we will become more inclined to do as God says. You know, I think that this is important as a church as well, to make this a kind of our statement of habit for our entire church, for our congregation. God, help me to see as you see. God, help me to see my relationship as you see it. Help me to see money the way that you see it. Help me to see my ability to be a friend as you see it. God, I know that if I can just catch a glimpse of the world the way that you do, I am sure I can respond appropriately. Guys, this is a powerful, powerful idea, and it's central as the followers of Christ. And perhaps seeing is not only believing, but seeing is believing, and it leads us to a change in our behavior. So today we're going to take a slice of the world, and I want to talk specifically about time. And I know I've talked about time before, but I want to twist this a little bit and think about it differently. I want to, because essentially our time is our life. And if we ask the question, God, help me to see my life the way that you see my life, we are essentially, in many ways, talking about our time, because our time is our life. Our time, and maybe you haven't thought about it this way before, our time is our most valuable asset that we have. It's our most valuable commodity. The most valuable thing that we have in this world is our time. In fact, it's so valuable, we talk about time like it's money. Think about the words that we use that we associate with time that we would normally associate with money. We talk about spending time. We talk about investing time. We talk about wasting time as if it is really an asset. And here's an interesting thought as well, in that at the end of our lives, many of us are going to spend a lot of money trying to buy more time. And of course we would do this, right? Because that is how valuable time is to us. It is more valuable than us than anything else. So the question I want to ask and answer today is, how does God see our time? God, help us to see as you see so that we will do as you say. God, help us to see as you see so that we will live lives that are in sync with the way that you made the world to be and the way that you made the world to operate. So to help us answer this question, I want to go to someone that we should all be familiar with. I know I've talked about him several times. And he had a lot of more time on this earth than most of us ever will. So today I want to talk about Moses. Because Moses wrote a psalm that ended up in the book of Psalm that helps us understand how time works and how God views time. But before we get into that, I want to say one more thing about Moses. The reason that we should take Moses seriously is not just because he's in the Bible. The reason that we should take Moses so seriously is because Jesus talked about Moses and referred to some of the things that he did during his life. So Jesus actually quoted Moses to substantiate some of the things that he taught. So yes, we should believe and listen to Moses because he's in the Bible, and the Bible is the infallible word of God, but we should always take an extra special note of anyone and anything that Jesus specifically talks about. Now, this is why Moses is such a great example for us. Moses lived to be 120 years old, and Moses started out his life as a rich, spoiled person and living and growing up in the household of Pharaoh. So Moses grew up in wealth and luxury, and Moses grew up in the world where he could have anything that he wanted to have, because he was adopted into Pharaoh's daughter's family, and he was raised like a son or a grandson to the most powerful man in the world at the time. And somewhere along the way, probably somewhere as a young man, Moses got a fatal case of purpose. Moses looked at the Hebrew people who were enslaved and suffering, and it bothered him. And he thought to himself, something needs to be done here. And he lived with this incredible tension that we can't even begin to imagine. Do I stay in my life of ease and comfort and continue to embrace pleasure? Or do I step out of all of that into the unknown and embrace a purpose that has no guaranteed ending? See, Moses did not know the end of Moses' story. Moses did not know how this would turn out, but Moses decided as a grown-up that I'm going to leave the comforts of Egypt and this palace, and I'm going to step into a problem that needs to be solved. And he embraced purpose, and that is the reason that we know the name Moses. So Moses lives to be 120 years old and does extraordinary things, grew up with everything, walked away from everything. And now in this psalm, he gives us his perspective on life, and more specifically, his perspective on time. And one last thing before we get to the text, and this is just a personal opinion. Anytime you meet someone or you hear about someone or that you read about someone who walked away from everything in order to do something, I think we should pay attention to that person. Anytime we meet someone, hear about someone, or read about someone that walked away from a lot in order to do something of significance, we should pay attention to that person. That is someone who understands the connection between time and life, and the connection between time and life and purpose. So now Moses, he wrote so long ago and that the way that he writes can be a little bit confusing. So I'm going to give us kind of a bottom line for what Moses is going to teach us, and then we'll unpack the text. Here's Moses' take on time. Moses says, context is everything. More specifically, he would say there is no purpose apart from context. To see time correctly, to see our time correctly, to see our life correctly, to see our time as God sees our time, we have to see our time or our life in its proper context. So let me try to illustrate this way. If you can visualize this with me, I know we're not in person, but if you could visualize this with me, have you ever opened up a drawer, like a junk drawer, and pulled something out and had no idea what it was for? And maybe you said to someone, what is this? And they looked at you and said, oh, that's the blank. And suddenly, this thing that had no purpose to you at that time, all of a sudden it gained purpose because they told you what it was. So could you imagine opening up that drawer? Maybe you're cleaning it out or something, or maybe you're just looking for a pair of scissors or something, but can you imagine opening up that drawer and finding one little itty-bitty screw in a drawer? And when you pull one of these out in your house so that someone can help you answer the question, what is this? This is a purpose question. Here's what we're asking. Why does this exist? What does this do? Why is this here? And the answer to all of those questions is a context answer. Because what we are trying to figure out is what the purpose of this little screw is. We know it's a screw, but we don't necessarily know what it does. When the question is answered, suddenly this worthless little screw, it has purpose. because it connects to something else. The purpose is driven by its connection to something. And we don't know what it is for until we know what it is connected to. We do not know why it is here. We do not know what it is for. We do not know why it is hanging around our house in this drawer until we know what it is connected to. This is why some of us have thrown things away that seem to have no value and no purpose, only to discover, oh, I was saving that screw because it's the only screw on the planet that fits the fill in the blank, and I've been looking all over for that screw, and I threw it away, or you threw it away. Now we are going to have to trash the entire thing because that screw was the key to the whole piece. But see, that screw, it had no value. Don't miss this. That screw had no value because you did not know what it was connected to. Now, here's what Moses says about this, and this comes from the oldest psalm in all of the Jewish scriptures. He wrote this in about 1200 to 1300 BC. So here's Moses, stepped into purpose out of wealth, and he says, hey, if you want to understand your life, if you want to understand time, you gotta have context, because context is what gives purpose. You don't want to be an adapter. You don't want to be a screw that doesn't have anything to adapt to. Context creates purpose. So here's how he says it. He says, and I'm in Psalm 90. So we're in Psalm chapter 90, verse 1. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generation. See, this is like his purpose statement, that God, we live in the context of you. He goes on, he says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, I just need to pause for a second and tell you how extraordinary this is, guys. This is the most progressive view of God imaginable. And to think that he wrote this 1200 to 1300 BC. Because in 1200 to 1300 BC, every culture believed in multiple gods. And Moses said, no. God is an immaterial, uncreated creator. It would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before any civilization caught up with this notion of God. For centuries, every culture worshiped multiple idols. And before all that, Moses says, nope. There is one God who is immaterial. He is everlasting to everlasting. He is the context for all of creation. He is the context for everything we experience and everything that happens. In fact, what's so interesting about this is that Moses was raised in Egypt, remember? And that meant that he was raised to worship Ra, or raised to worship the sun. And the interesting thing about Ra is that there were two theories about where he came from. The most interesting one is that he was self-created. Now that's got to be an interesting trick, because that meant he would actually have to show up right before he became. The other theory about Ra was that another god created him. So the fact that in 1200 to 1300 BC that Moses recognizes that the Egyptians have it wrong. Everybody has it wrong. There is one God. He's immaterial, everlasting to everlasting, the eternal God. Now, here's the point in all of this, and God's eternal existence is the context for our little itty-bitty life. So let me say that again. God's eternal existence from everlasting to everlasting, no bookends, God's eternal existence is the context for our lives. Wherever and whenever we are born within the context of the God that got here before us and will be here after we are gone. And so then Moses, he keeps going and he gets a little bit more practical. He says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. And 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. Or then he's like, wait, no. It's shorter than that. It's like a watch in the night. And a watch was about a period of 3 hours. He says, you know what, God, from your perspective, 1,000 of our years here on earth, it's like 3 hours to you. Our lifetimes, our entire lifetimes are like little blips. They're like a third of a blip. You can't even hear the blip. It is so small. He says, our lives are just so small. And then he says this. We're into verse 5 now. He says, "Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning." Moses, can you elaborate on what the whole new grass thing? "Yes, I will," he says. He says in the next, he keeps going. He says, "In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered." See, his point is, as if we need to be reminded of this, is that life is short. We show up late and we leave early. And if we stay there, and if we focus on that idea at some point, and this is his point, eventually we have to ask the question that Moses is begging us to ask. And the question is this: then what's the point? What's the purpose? I mean, if we are here today and gone tomorrow, if every time we turn around and another 5 to 10 years has gone by, if we blink our eyes and we are still in that job we don't like, or if we blink and our kids are grown and gone, then what's the point? Now, here's the good news. When you ask, what is the point? That is a purpose-driven question. And remember, there is no purpose apart from context. It's as if we walked over to our junk drawer and we pulled ourselves out and said, what's this short life? What's this for? What's this short life for? And the answer to that question, and the answer to that question for each one of us, is the word context. So going back to our junk drawer and that screw illustration, my life, your life goes with. My life, your life is a part of. My life, your life connects to something other than you. Purpose requires connection. That's what Moses is teaching us. Purpose requires connection. And if we get disconnected from the everlasting to everlasting, we are like a screw without something to screw into. We're like a phone cord without a phone. We're like an adapter with nothing to adapt to. And we will end up asking that all too familiar question: why am I here? Now, as Moses goes on, the next few verses they're equally challenging. So here's the summary of the next few verses. He says, you know what? If we are not careful, we will spend a lot of years in our lives with no context and just roaming around without purpose. Then it's just going to end. So picking up on that theme in later verses, going into verse 10, Moses says this. He says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Guys, this is Moses' description of a life without purpose. This is his description of a life wasted. This is his description where a person never figures out the context. What is this life for? And then in Psalm 90, Moses turns the corner. Just as we are about to give up in despair, he says this in 11. If we only knew. What if we only knew? The implication being that there is something that we don't know. The implication that there is something that is not intuitive. The implication that if we don't pay attention, then we will miss it. If we only knew. Yes, Moses, what is it? Tell me so I know. If we only knew the power of your anger. Well, that doesn't seem to be helpful, Moses. Did you just change the subject on us? What's going on here? And then it just gets worse. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. So unless we want to just stop right there and put that on a piece of paper and make it our life verse, let me translate Hebrew to English on what he's saying here. Here's the point of what he's saying. Here's what Moses is telling us. He's saying, if we knew or could see God as he is, we would give him the reverence he is due. If we could catch a glimpse of the true context of our God, the everlasting to everlasting, Moses is saying that if we can catch a glimpse of that, we will lean in and we will align our lives with the purposes of God, because we will automatically give him the reverence, the respect that he is due. So here's another way of saying this. God created us on purpose for his purpose. And apart from his purpose, we are an 8-track tape, and there's nothing to play us in. Kids, I'll have to ask your parents about that one. And here's what Moses is saying. If we disconnect or if we fool ourselves thinking that somehow we can find purpose in this life on our own, Moses is saying, look, I've lived on this earth for 120 years. I have been there and done that. I have had it all and I've had nothing. And I'm telling you, if you could only see just a little bit of the glory of God, you would lean in and it would change everything for you. We need to learn something. We need to remember something. That why he says this, if we only knew the power of your anger. Now, Moses has turned the corner. He's going to land the plane. He's going to give us something practical. He says, in light of all of that, God, teach us. Now we're into verse 12. Teach us, because if you don't teach us, we're not going to learn it and we're going to miss it. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days, which really means teach us to remember that our days are numbered. Because if we forget that our days are numbered, we will live a disconnected life. And if we forget that our days are numbered, we will try to mine and pump purpose out of this life. He says, teach us to remind us that our days are numbered. Teach us to remember our days. And he finishes 12 out with, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is viewing any topic or subject in its broadest context. When we meet somebody who is wise and we ask them a question and they come up with this wise answer, you're talking to somebody who is able to pull out all of the specifics, pull back from the emotion, and look at whatever it is you're talking about in the broadest context. That's what wisdom is. And Moses says this, we need to begin to ask God to teach us to number our days, to remind us that our time is limited, that our time is short. And if we begin to number our days, you will gain the wisdom that you need. You will have a greater understanding of the context of your life, which is God and His purpose in this world. Which means the question that we should ask and the question that should haunt us, the question that should inhabit our prayers isn't, what am I here for? The question is, who am I here for? Because the great news is this, we are not here for a what. A what is too small a thing for us to live for. We are not designed for a what. We are not created for a what. We have not been created in the image of a what. We have been created for a who. Who am I here for? And here's what Moses would say. He would say that as long as you answer that question, me, I am here for me, then Moses says, here's your future. Your days may come to 70 years or 80, if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass, and we fly away. But if you embrace the truth that you were created for God's purpose, that you were created with a purpose for His, capital H, His purpose, if you are willing to say, I was created on purpose for God's purpose, then Moses says, you're onto something. You have connected. You have found the context for your life. You have found the context for your time. He would say to us, folks, this is why I left the comforts of the palace of Egypt, because I knew God's activity was with the Hebrew slaves, and I did not want to miss out on what God was up to in the world. Guys, listen to me. This is a life message. That's why I have the kids listen to the same message. This is a life message. This is something that we all need to work on. This is something that we all need to pray on. God, help me to see as you see, so that I don't miss the context, the purpose that you have for me. Kids, listen, this is something that when you pray at night, when you pray in the morning, whenever you pray, you need to say, God, or Father, help me to see as you see, so that I don't miss the context or the purpose that you have for me. Guys, if you are able to do that, If you're a Christian, you are probably familiar with Moses in this story, but I think he would look at each one of us in the eye and say, don't blink. Don't blink. Moses wouldn't care if you're a Christian or not when it comes to that. He says, listen, everybody needs to believe this, and everybody needs to understand this principle, because this principle will draw you to God. This principle will make non-Christians Christians. This will make Christians better Christians. He says, don't blink. Don't you even blink, because if you do, and you open your eyes not seeing how God sees, you will miss it. You will miss why you were created, and you will begin to miss your days. Time will have flown by and you missed it. But if you are able to open your eyes and see how God sees, you will catch a glimpse of His awesome glory, and your life will have connection. It will have purpose. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words. We thank you for the examples of the people in the Bible. We thank you for their wisdom to see things, to help us to see things the way they saw, because they saw how you saw, and it gets us in a way of seeing how you see, which can help us make our community better, can help us make our church better. It can help make us individually better, our families better, our workplace better. It can just make this world better if we can learn to see how you see. So, Father, I ask for all of us that you just help us to see as you see. May it be our ultimate goal in life to strive daily, second by second, to see as you see. We ask that you continue to watch over us. Continue to help the virus to go away so that we can get back to church and see each other again, so that we can have community again. We love you, and we thank you so much, and we ask all this in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. As always, guys, there's an end song, so at the end of this, go ahead and click on video link 2, listen to the song. It was great to see you guys that were here this past Sunday. It was good to see everybody and to see the spirits are still lifted through all this. And I hope to see more of you guys as you feel safe and comfortable to come back to church on Sunday. We miss you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. We are meeting again on Sunday for one service at 10 a.m. and following the recommended social distancing protocol. Our midweek services are still online only. Stay safe and have a great week.